Welcome to There is a Method to the Madness. My name is Rob Maxwell, and I'm an exercise physiologist and personal trainer. I'm the owner of Maxwell's Fitness Programs, and I've been in business for the last 28 years, since 1994. Today's topic is eating for fueling, and for those that don't necessarily want to lose weight. Matter of fact, maybe they want the opposite. Before I get into that, I need to and want to thank our sponsors, Jonathan and Lynn Gilden at the Gilden Group at Realty Pros. They currently have over 275 star reviews on Zillow and over 100 million sold between them. I absolutely vouch for them. They can sell your house and help you find what you are looking for. If you need any assistance, you can check them out at thegildengroup.com or give them a ring at 386-451-2412. Let's get into our topic. Too often, we are always consumed with how to lose weight, and most eating plans are really all about that. It's all about how much we can lose, and that seems to be the topic all the time. But thankfully, not everybody needs to or wants to lose weight, and they would like to gain some weight, and or they would like to eat for performance. So let's talk about that. One of the things that's very, very hard to do when you're training for events, whether it be running or triathlon or swimming, or you're in high school maybe and you're playing basketball and football and team sports and things like that, is to lose weight and be at your peak in your sport at the same time. Very, very difficult thing to do. Sometimes you see in the professional realm that guys come into camp out of shape, and it's really maddening to the coaches because they know that they're not going to be able to practice well, as they have to basically be on a restrictive diet so they can lose weight, because for them to be at the best at their sport, they're going to have to lose weight if that's the case. So it's maddening to coaches, which is why they have off-season conditioning programs for those that, well, everybody does it, but it's more or less geared towards the people who allow themselves to get out of shape in the off-season so they don't have to deal with it when they come to camp. For example, football players typically come to camp in the NFL somewhere around July, and they have to start practicing getting ready for the season, because the preseason begins in August and the regular season in September. So if they come into camp out of shape and have to lose 20 or 30 pounds, then they are pretty much not very effective in practice, and they're behind the eight ball, so to say. So it's not a good situation, but these guys are professionally paid athletes, so they have the luxury of having chefs and trainers to work with in the season part, in the off-season part, where they're not going to practice, so this doesn't happen. And in a perfect world, it never would still, but it still does, and it's maddening to the coaches. But in any event, for the rest of us who don't have access to that, I mean, you kind of do if you train with me or you're listening to these podcasts or getting some advice. You know, the best thing to do is to not let that happen to begin with, but we definitely don't have access towards forced regimens of having to come in and lose weight. So the point of all this is that you can't be your best when you're dieting, and you can't do both. It's very hard to lose weight and train for a triathlon, because you need a lot of fuel to be effective in the triathlon. So I'm going to gear this towards those that are at that point where they've reached the weight they want to be at, and they are looking to either gain weight or at least maintain the weight, feel strong, and have endurance. All right, so I think I made the point, you can't really do both, and the reason is because you need your carbohydrates for fuel, you need your energy, you need a sufficient amount of calories. You actually need to be in a slight surplus all the time when you're training for events, so you have a little bit more food for recovery, And again, that's what makes it difficult when you're trying to lose weight, because you can't be in a surplus. So what about for those folks? What do we need to do when we're at the weight we want to be at? We want to gain a little weight, one of those two situations. Well, the first thing is, all rules still apply really to everybody. We don't want to get in the habit of eating junk food, no matter what. Now, if you're a teenager and you're trying to play football and you absolutely have tried everything to put on some weight, or the parents have tried everything, well, I've told many kids like that, look, just eat what you can. Eat as much as you can of whatever you want, junk food, whatever. Try to put on some weight, because the thinking is they're going to get enough of the hopeful good stuff as they're doing it, but you tell them to eat as much as they can. But you know, those are situations that really this podcast isn't geared towards, because that's a very slim minority right there. This is more towards the folks who are, you know, a little bit older, maybe, you know, young adults or middle-aged and or older, and trying to gain some weight, or at least trying to maintain some weight as they train. So for us, we still don't want to eat just a ton of junk food. It just doesn't do anything for you. We have to understand that food has certain properties that it gives off that we utilize. So let's say you're trying to gain weight and you just eat a bunch of candy bars. Well, candy bars are loaded with basically sugar and fat. That's what makes them appealing. That's what makes them satiating. You know, we feel full. We feel good when we eat them. The sugar gives us a little bit of a dopamine raise. The fat makes us feel a little bit full, and the fat also has a texture that's very appealing to the mouth. So we crave it. Of course, we crave it, but what happens is the sugar doesn't store as glycogen. What happens is it spikes your glucose levels, it spikes your insulin levels, and then it floats around in the bloodstream for maybe 10 minutes, and then we store it somewhere as fat. We don't store it as glycogen, though, in most cases. Fat, consuming a lot of fat, doesn't do us any good either. It's calorically dense, meaning fat is high in calories without a lot of nutrition behind it. So fat's purpose is for long-term energy, but that's the fat that we store in the adipose tissue. So when you eat a lot of fat, you're basically just taking in nutrients that aren't doing a lot for us. Now, we need some. The key is some, but when we eat nothing but a high-fat diet, we're not doing anything to really give us more long-term energy, and we're not getting any glycogen storage, which is what we use for energy, and we're not getting any protein, which is what we use to rebuild damaged cells. So really, we're just getting a lot of nothing. So if we eat a lot of fat and if we eat a lot of sugar, we're getting a lot of nothing. Basically, we're getting what we call empty calories, not nutrient dense calories. We're getting calorically dense calories. Again, in some cases, extreme cases, pounding a lot of empty calories could be okay. I think I've given the instance before where when I had COVID, I really couldn't eat anything. So just trying to get the most calorically dense foods into my system was the goal. And I couldn't even do that. So that didn't work anyway. I just had no appetite for anything. But the attempt was, you know, just eat this, eat that, and it still didn't work. But there are instances, you know, we need to always remember we don't live in a black and white world. And, you know, sometimes that's a problem because people think, well, he said never eat this. No, just understand why you're eating. Understand the method to the madness. Fat and sugar don't do a lot, if anything, for us. Now, to give sugar a little credit, we want a little bit of sugar while we're training endurance-wise, while we're racing. You know, training too, but that's when sugar comes in handy. So there's a certain type of sugar, basically, that are called glucose polymers that are in different forms of carbohydrate drinks and gels that we want to consume in small quantities, roughly 100 calories worth every 45 minutes or so, to keep our glucose levels high while we're exercising. That's a fact. We want that. But other than that, we don't want sugar while we're at rest. It really doesn't do anything for us. Sugar is the nutrient we want when in action or right afterwards in a situation where the glucose levels are going to decline. That's when we want some sugar. So for example, if you've given blood or something like that, that would be the time to have some sugar. Or if you're diabetic and obviously you're going into some hypoglycemia, that's the time to have sugar. But sugar raises your glucose levels. That's what it does. We want it during activity. At rest, we don't want a lot of sugar, and we certainly don't want a lot of fat, okay? There's a method to the madness and the macronutrients that we eat. All right, so what do we eat at rest when we're trying to gain weight, when we're trying to gain energy? We need to eat a lot of complex carbohydrates. That is the key. Polysaccharides. Poly means many. Many sugars put together make the sugar complex. That's what carbohydrates are. Carbohydrates are essentially sugar, but it's what bond do we want? We want high bonded sugars because it takes them longer to break down, so therefore we store them as glycogen. I've said the word glycogen several times. Glycogen is simply stored carbohydrates in your muscles and in your liver. We store 400 grams of carbohydrate glycogen in our muscles, 100 in our liver. We want to essentially keep those levels full, because if they're full, we always have energy. They are the go-to carbohydrate when we're training. Hear that? They are the go-to carbohydrate when we're training. If we run out of glycogen, we don't move, okay? So too many times people think, well, you know, I'm going to starve myself in between and then have some sugar during. That doesn't work, because we need to actually have enough stored glycogen to even burn the sugar we ingest. Our body is a complicated system, so we always have to keep those levels high. We need to eat a lot. What's a lot? Well, whatever your weight is and you're comfortable with, if you're comfortable there, keep consuming as much low glycemic complex carbohydrates as you can. If you notice yourself gaining a couple pounds and you don't like it, well then back that off a little bit. But keep consuming. What are those foods? Brown rice, whole wheat pasta, although that's not as good as brown rice, quinoa, potatoes, most all green vegetables, a lot of fruits, for example, Granny Smith apples, berries, cherries. Those are all the foods to eat. But Rob, aren't a lot of those fruits high sugar? Not really. There's such a thing as the glycemic index. The glycemic index confuses everybody. But the bottom line is, glycemic index means how quickly does that particular sugar convert to sugar, turn into glucose. A high glycemic rating means it converts pretty quick. A low glycemic rating means it converts pretty slowly. We want slowly. Some fruits act totally like sugar. Green bananas, they act like sugar. Pineapple acts just like sugar. Watermelon acts just like sugar. Even though these aren't necessarily fruits, but dried fruits like raisins, dates act just like sugar. Green apples, strawberries, cherries, blueberry, raspberry, oranges, pears do not act just like sugar. They're actually lower on the glycemic rating, and we will store them as glycogen. So we want that. We want to consume as many polysaccharides as we can, as our weight allows us to. It helps us recover. Oftentimes we feel strained and drained after working out because our glycogen levels are low. We only store 2,000 calories. It sounds like a lot, but it's not really. Let's say you go out for, you know, you're an endurance athlete and you go for a 2-hour run. Well, in 2 hours, you burn that glycogen levels down to nothing. If you're not, if you're not replenishing them, then you're going to feel very, very low in energy afterwards. So that's the big reason why we feel very low on energy. Okay, so complex carbohydrates, we need to eat a lot of them. I named what they are. Secondly, protein. But we go way too far with protein in this country, way too far. We don't need nearly as much protein as we're told. 20% of our diet needs to be protein, but we still need to eat that 20%. What protein does is protein repairs damaged cells. That's its job. Oftentimes you hear people say, especially the bodybuilders, oh, to grow you need a lot of protein. That's not true. You need protein to repair. You need the complex carbs to grow. I know that's semantics, because essentially without protein you can't grow because you're not repairing. I get it. That's true. But in reality, protein's job is repair. It repairs damaged cells. Not just muscle cells, but hair cells, skin cells, all cells. So we need a certain amount of protein to repair. You know, if you look at nature, you know, it kind of knew what it was doing. Even in nature, there's a lot of products that have both complex carbohydrates and protein. Quinoa is one of them. It's a great, great food. I get it may not be the, you know, to me anyway, the best tasting food, but man, it is good for you. And legumes are too. Any kind of beans are so good. They're high in natural proteins, high in complex carbohydrates. They're great. So we need protein and we need complex carbohydrates. That's the bottom line. I'm not going to get into whether it should be plant-based or animal-based proteins. I mean, you know, the studies pretty much show that protein is protein despite what you may hear. There are plenty of plant-based proteins that are great proteins. And of course, lean proteins such as that comes from chicken and fish and turkey are great proteins too. So it's not really a matter of are you plant-based or animal-based, just know that you can get protein in sufficient qualities from either. The problem with eating a lot of animal protein is the fact that you're also consuming a lot of fat, especially if it's a non-chicken, non-fish, non-turkey source. You're consuming a lot of fat with it, which we already know isn't good. We never want a high-fat diet. Every study in the world has proven that. Regardless of what the keto folks might tell you or the paleo folks might tell you, the reality is high fat diets lead to heart disease and other problems. We don't want a lot of fat in our diet. And it just makes sense considering that it's pretty much a macronutrient that doesn't do a lot, right? I mean, it does long-term energy, but that's the adipose tissue you store. And you can't even really get to that if you don't have enough glycogen, because the Krebs cycle states that fat burns in the carbohydrate flame. So everything comes back to energy and carbohydrates. We just need to understand that, sure, if we eat too much sugar or if we eat too many carbs, sure, we can gain weight. Of course, you can. If you eat too much of anything, you're going to gain weight. But again, if you are at the weight you're at, and you need to simply consume these carbohydrates to burn the energy. And if you start gaining weight, you simply know you need to cut back. You don't say, oh, I'm not eating this anymore. You say, I'm not eating as much of this. But for those who brought this up, this topic that they can't gain weight, that's pretty much not the problem. They must have an amazing metabolism, and they're probably not worried about weight at all, because they might gain a pound here or there, but then next thing you know, they accidentally, because they're busy, skip a meal and they're down 2 pounds. So this really doesn't like matter to them how much. I know with some people it's always this battle between having enough and too much. I get it, and that's where you just have to know yourself and know your body. But we know that to have sufficient energy and to gain weight, we need a sufficient amount of complex carbohydrates. Now, finally, when? You want to make sure that you're constantly fueling your body when you need it. So I still stick to have the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Make sure you're having complex carbohydrates at every meal. The polysaccharides, again, the potatoes, the brown rices, the sourdough bread, the rye bread, the legumes. Did I name everything there? The peas, the lentils. Some of the fruits I mentioned, have those at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Oatmeals, and you know, use the common sense for the meal you're on. So for example, if it's breakfast, probably some nice whole grain oatmeal. If it's lunch, it could be some rice, it could be some pasta, it could be some sourdough bread, it could be some rye bread, it could be potatoes, whatever. If it's thinner, it could be brown rice, it could be quinoa, it could be potatoes. If you're really struggling to gain weight, or if you're always losing weight, then you can have, of course, a multitude of sources at those meals. You can have bread and potatoes, you know. So remember that, the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then just beforehand, for those that need to gain the weight, you want to have a small little carbohydrate snack just beforehand, or one of the power gels or goos or something like that that the endurance athletes might use. If that's not your gig and you're going to the gym and you're going to yoga, well then a piece of fruit, like a pear, an apple, whatever, just beforehand would be fine. And then right afterwards, you want to refuel a little bit with a little bit of carbohydrate. So that's even for those that are, and I hope everybody, eating consistently breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you want to have a little bit of carbohydrate and a little bit of protein just after training, whether it be yoga, whether it be working out, whether it be cardio. Just afterwards, have a little bit of complex carb, a little bit of any carb, really. The cells can handle the sugars just afterwards, and a little bit of protein. Okay, so those are your keys right there. Complex carbs and protein. Those are your nutrients that you need for energy and to grow physically stronger, to grow more endurance, to grow all those great things. Finally, fiber. We want to make sure that we're consuming enough fiber because you want good gut health. You want to make sure that you're eliminating properly. So fiber is a nutrient that you always want to make sure that you're consuming enough of. Most studies say somewhere around 40 grams of fiber a day. I go beyond that. I think fiber is so good for you. You can get fiber in all different kinds of good cereals, the complex carbohydrate cereals. You can get fiber in oatmeal and good breads. Legumes, all good. So make sure you're consuming enough fiber too. Again, shoot for at least 40 grams a day. Most of us are using fitness trackers, MyFitnessPals, and things like that to check these things. My guess is if you're like most Americans, your fiber is very, very low. Of course, most Americans eat horribly. We're eating fast food, convenience store food all of the time. And there's just not a lot of fiber in any of those foods. You'd be astonished if you looked that up and you ate at those places. You're probably not getting even 10 grams, and that's so not healthy for your gut health, okay? So, complex carbs, protein, fiber. Make sure that you're getting your micronutrients like your vitamins. It's absolutely best to get it in food. If you are eating a healthy diet, like I just stated, most likely, 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, you are getting your micronutrients too. You want your vitamin D, go outside for at least 20 minutes a day. A lot of people are getting COVID again, so make sure we're getting out there, getting in the sunlight. The studies I've seen have shown that the vitamin D is so good for you. So get outside, get that nice vitamin D, get yourself feeling good, go for a nice walk on the beach. Not too many things are better than that. So, I hope this helps, and until next time, be Max Fit and be Max Well.